Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us and getting back into it. My friend Paula Bovin is going to join us from AZ Central Sports, the columnist every Monday. Paula will jump on board. So I was watching the Cardinal game yesterday. Their special teams aren't very good. That's about the best I could put it. Their punt team and Butler and Cannizzaro. It was one of those games, guys. Don't you think it was predictable? I think all of us last week were looking at the game leading up to San Francisco and saying, well, you know, good teams put their foot down on throats. In the meantime, they're being told, hey, by the way, you're like this enormous favorite and the 49ers aren't good. And so they were out of sync yesterday. There's no other way to put it. I don't like sugarcoating games, but I'm also one of those people that says, and this drives some of you crazy because you're saying you're not consistent. You always hammer on them. You know what? I hammer on them. I bring the sledgehammer, and then sometimes I bring a fly swatter, and sometimes you don't need to bring anything. I don't think that yesterday's game was a sign of worry and that this is all going to end very, very badly. It may. Okay, Carson took a couple shots yesterday, one that I thought was legal, by the way, that the Cardinals say wasn't, the 49ers said it was, and I'm just an average football fan watching and saying that was a clean shot on him. But I'm not that concerned about what happened yesterday. The concern is, sure, the injuries, and that's just part of it with any team. Last night, Gronk goes down with New England, and they think the world is going to come to an end, and I have to remind myself and the people with me, you know, the Patriots have had injuries and bad injuries all year. If you're a Cardinal fan and you think back a year ago, okay, Darnell Dockett went down in training camp, was it in August of 14, and people thought the world was going to come to an end, and actually, it was the end of Darnell. Carson Palmer went down, and the world did end. This year, they have been relatively injury-free. Yupati has had a couple of dings. Senline has been playing hurt, but what lineman doesn't have a little bit of something going on somewhere? Carson has been upright. Ellington, I'm just looking at Ellington saying, I like Andre Ellington, but there's got to be some back room there at the Cardinals, and this is just me looking at the NFL for years and years and years saying, after this year is over, we have to take a good, long, hard look at Andre Ellington and durability. That's just the way the NFL it is. Fairly or unfairly, and most of the time it's unfair. But he's out again. I don't know how long. Bruce Arians will talk later today. Chris Johnson going down. He's been a workhorse for them so far this season. And so you may see a lot of David Johnson. That's the concern. Like the 49ers were so bad yesterday. And the Cardinals, you could easily say, played down to their level. When you have a team that gets 13 penalties, and it's end zone, end zone, end zone, it's like, please just score. But wait, there's another penalty. But wait, there's another penalty. I'm not going to sit here and go off of one game, because during the course of a long NFL season, there's going to be a game or two that there's absolutely no explanation and no reason other than it's just human emotion taking over that you're not quite as focused. It's 16 weeks, and you throw in those worthless games in August, it's 20 weeks. And you throw in the playoffs, and you're looking at 24 weeks, if you go all the way through, or 23 weeks. So there's going to be weeks where it doesn't go all as planned. And so far this year, the Cardinals have been relatively injury-free. The concern I have is their special teams just weren't that good. The officials, yeah, they struggled. And when Bruce Arians says, I mean, they can't count to three, I got so many explanations, I got tired of them because they are running out of them, end quote. I don't know what it's going to be like today with Bruce when he talks at 12:15, but I'm sure that the question has got to be brought up. And guys, every week it's this way now in the league, isn't it? Isn't it like Thanksgiving, we're sitting there watching games? I watched a good amount of the Carolina-Dallas game. I was out in Carlsbad, played some golf, was not very good, but had a great time. It was one of those things where we had this house full of people, if you're like me, there's just one or two people that kind of are like sandpaper within the family. And I just didn't want to have sandpaper. So I found a golf course online and and said to my brother-in-law, hey, we don't really know each other that well, but let's get out of here. I watched almost all the Packers-Bears game, and it was terrific, unless you're a Packer fan. Even at halftime, though, I will say this, that Brett Favre and Bart Starr, if you're a fan of sports, there are moments. If you're a fan of sports, when Favre and Starr were there at halftime, and I'd read some stuff where Bart Starr is really struggling, but he wanted to be there. That was cool. And it's typical Lambo, except it should have been snowing. It was rainy. It was cold. It was miserable. It was everything that you'd want in Packers, Bears, unless you're a Packer fan. They can't seem to figure themselves out. But every game I sit here and watch, it feels like I'm saying more often than not, there's another flag, and that's a really bad call. And then it's to the point now where guys that are paid by networks who have relationships with the NFL and really tight relationships are very critical of what's going on. Yesterday, like the Cardinals game, it was late in the game and it was the big hit on Carson Palmer, and Chris Myers, who's been around forever and he's a veteran and he's just happy to still be doing games, was trying to dance around the subject that, man, this officiating crew blows. And he didn't want to put himself out there. I've tried to make the point. So, I mean, long rant here off the top, but the officiating was dreadful. The game itself, for a low-scoring game, had some interesting moments, like Carson Palmer running for a score. Who has that? Like in Peter King's story that he told us about, where there's 175 plays, I don't know what play number 110 broke down, and it just says, Carson, run as fast as you can. He's not forced. It wasn't run, forced, run. It was a long, like they could have run like a 10-second coming up tonight infomercial. 60 minutes tonight. Watch this and this and this. Oh, there's Carson still going towards the end zone. But the dial hit on Carson Palmer. Now the Cardinals are saying it was blow to the head. I just didn't see that. I didn't. Of course they're going to say, oh yeah, it was a great call. Of course. But what I did see was special teams struggling again. And when you get late into the season, the Cardinals have one road game left that you look at and you say, okay, at Philadelphia, because they're indoors at St. Louis, at Philadelphia, if it's cold, if it's miserable, if there's some playoff stuff that's on the line, if you get yourself into another low-scoring game and your punter's not getting it done and your kicker is struggling with his confidence, what are you going to do on that front? Now, Tyrann Mathieu had a hell of a day yesterday. 13 tackles, a pick, a tackle. I don't know if you saw the Jay Glazer piece beforehand that Fox did on him. It's been circulating around. If you're at your office today and you're not buying mattresses on Cyber Monday, whatever it is, go look up Jay Glazer, Tyrann Mathieu on Twitter or on Fox's site. I don't care. But it was really good. You can't tell his story enough of where he was, what he was going through. And then you watch him play. You just can't. So I'm not sitting here today saying the Cardinals are this and the Cardinals are that. They did just enough to beat a bad team. And the bad team did just enough to beat themselves. That's why they're a bad team. You turn the page. You move on. You don't sit here and dissect and break down much more than just what we saw yesterday. The injuries are a concern. The punter and the kicker is a concern. The officiating was brutal. It was a bad game in that regard, and you move on. So you have St. Louis next. From there, I'm going to get to ASU in a minute because there are some comments that Todd Graham made that were, I don't think I'm overreacting on this one. When I saw the quotes initially, I wanted to see the video. I didn't go to the game. You know, we go to all their games. We did not go on the road game to Cal because I just didn't see the need. There'll be other games that'll be more interesting and more important for us to be at. Kobe Bryant is at the top of my page today. So it's time. It's hard to see a guy like Peyton Manning can't throw a football, but he still wants to come back and even reportedly would play for another team next year. Like, come on. And then you see a guy like Kobe Bryant, and the Lakers have done Kobe Bryant zero favors. They have surrounded him with not much of anything and have been a dysfunctional franchise since the late Dr. Jerry Buss passed away. This is the only way to put it. So yesterday, it comes out And Kobe penned a letter that's really good. I mean, it's really good. I thought about reading the letter on the show, but this isn't Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I'll just tell you the one line of this season is all I have left to give. When you watch him play, it's not nearly the same as it once was. The same can be said when Steve Nash was playing at the end of his career, and it wasn't the same guy to watch. And there's a business side to it. And the Suns, I felt like, held on to Nash too long, kept Nash because they needed to fill seats rather than win games. That's always a bad idea in professional sports. Anytime that people sit in a boardroom and say, we got to keep a guy. But in Kobe's case, he wanted to give it another run. He wanted to keep playing into his 20th season. But the body is not working, and the players around him just aren't good, or they're young, and they're just they're a dysfunctional franchise. So you're watching him at the end of his career go out in a blaze of not glory. Like, they're 2-13, I think, today. Did they win late last night, Jordy? Did you see that?
I did not see that.
You didn't see it? Well, why don't you look it up? Do something today. Eric got stranded in an airport. I mean, you're here.
It's not that I don't want you here.
It's just Eric found another day to take a day off from the show. It's fine.
It's uncanny.
He's not used stranded in an airport yet as an excuse. So, you know, find that out.
Check that one off the
Check
list.
Check that one off the list, right? We know there's going to be more coming. I don't think he used the cat is sick yet this year. So Jordan's in today. No, but the point is on Kobe. Sports needs villains, okay? And if you don't agree with me, tell me you don't love going to a game and just booing the heck out of Kobe Bryant. If you're a Laker fan that lives here in Arizona, that's your problem. Move. You know the 714, the 909. You know, if you haven't figured out what state you live in yet, it's pretty simple. Go west, hit the ocean. You can go root for your guy all you want. Here in Arizona, I don't know. The Laker fans are about as bad as Cowboy fans. When your team's good, you're all over. When your team blows, you just go hide. They're not good, but I love Kobe Bryant. Absolutely love watching him. I love villains. I love assassins on the basketball court or in sports. Guys that just walk in and they want to rip your guts out. They want to chew you up, spit you out, and take full advantage of you. And I think that not having Kobe Bryant in the NBA is bad. Now, there's a question about what Jerry Colangelo should do about this. And I'll get into that a little bit later, because Jerry's involved in Kobe Bryant's afterlife. He's not God. He's just involved in his afterlife. Should he be in the Olympic team or not? Because he's retiring this year. If you're not playing, I mean, is it nothing more than just a way to get a ratings grab and Kobe gets more shoe money? Or can he actually help the team out in some capacity? And one last thought on this. March 23rd is Kobe Bryant and the Lakers' last game, assuming he's even able to walk, because his body's just beat up. March 23rd, the Lakers play the Suns for the last time this season. Don't know how to break this to you, Laker fans. You're not going to the playoffs. Suns fans, I don't know if you're going to the playoffs for the sixth straight year. I mean, you're right there on the border of being a playoff team or just not being very good. I can't decide yet. But the game on March 23rd should be an absolute love fest. You can go boo him all you want. That's a sign of respect. You think it bothers Kobe Bryant? Somebody's booing him? Come on. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. On the other side, Todd Graham said some things after the ASU lost to Cal that were really interesting to me. And talked about, you know, if you don't like something that we're doing, you know, go find someone else. What is that all about? And we did tell you Georgia was going to come open 3 weeks ago and to look for Rich Rod, and I've got an update on that. That's next.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Actually, there's more angst and anger today about... And it's probably because the Cardinals did find a way to win in an ugly game, but they won. And so I'm not all worked up about that. I'm not even worked up about Arizona State losing to Cal. So the college football weekend was actually more interesting to me, other than watching Brock Osweiler last night. The NFL, it was fine. It was great sitting around with family and friends, but finding myself more and more attracted to the college game in terms of overall storylines. Doesn't mean I don't like the, I'm not anti-NFL. It's just, okay, I get it. There's this team that's going about their business and they're not very good, 49ers, and there's the Cardinals and they have a bit of a letdown game. Arizona State had a total collapse. And I think fans, it just kind of put an exclamation point on what has been, I don't know how to even sum up this year. Because I know that Arizona State is going to say, we went to a bowl game and that's successful. No, it's not. Not with what the expectations were. You can't tell me, and they're going to say, well, we beat the U of A. Like, okay, for some of you, that matters in your offices, so you can hang that over your friends and have your bets. That's great. But you give up 542 yards to a quarterback, and yeah, he's going to go to the NFL, but you give up 542 yards to any quarterback. And you you give up not just a lead, but you were in pretty good position. It was 24-3, okay? And their final six possessions, six straight possessions, Arizona State couldn't get the job done. They puked all over their shoes. So Todd Graham after the game, and we've been talking about pressure defense all season long, and I've talked about the injuries that they've had and the departures that they've had, and the defections that they've had. But let's be honest here. If you were to look at even last season, okay, go back to the second half of the Notre Dame game last year, and if you were really honest with yourself looking at that, they had to hang on. A part of that's the opponent, give them credit, but they couldn't stop Notre Dame last year. Go back to the Oregon State game. Yeah, it may have all been about who was at quarterback and whether Norvell and Graham saw eye to eye, which I don't think they did. It's no secret. Go back to the U of A game last year. The bowl game. Then you come into this season, and the amount of yards that were given up and to quarterbacks that are just young. I mean, Washington's quarterback's a freshman, and he just tore apart ASU. Now, yeah, there's injuries. But what does that tell you? If you're going to go to the injury card all the time, it means you don't have much depth at all. So I try to be more careful and not oversell the recruiting part. Yeah, we do recruiting here at Sports 360 AZ. People want it. People love it. People get into it. We also don't sit here and say this is the greatest, most unbelievable, most amazing recruit in the history of mankind. Because I do get a lot of that over from Arizona State. We cannot believe he became available. All right, just relax. Just relax. And there's coaches over there, and Todd can't talk about this stuff, so it's not from him. There are coaches there that are very realistic. But the whole athletic department in the past when it comes to recruiting, oh, this kid is amazing. Then when they leave, oh, we didn't want him anyways. He wasn't very good. It's just kind of like, eh. So, look, they lost Amon Perry. They lost Jordan Simone. But if you're going to tell me you can't find other players or have other players in place, they had a linebacker here that they thought was going to be the greatest thing ever, and he ended up being a bad guy in Durant. So you can't miss on recruits. You can't miss on character guys. You can't take chances on character guys. And so here's, and I'm setting all that up for after the game ends, okay? 48-46 loss. 24-3 blown lead. And Todd Graham was asked directly about the blitzing scheme, the pressure defense.
I mean, we would get beat 100-0 if we didn't pressure. I mean, anybody knows anything about football can look out there and see. It's pretty challenging with the, we lost both our starting free safety and our bandit safety. We got some guys playing brand new positions. We got one free safety who's never played there. If we did, that's who we are and what we're about is pressure. That's just the way it is, the way it's going to be. As long as I'm a head coach, that's what it's going to be. I want somebody not to blitz, get somebody else.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, so, and then it was cut off there. Not by us. And that was from Sun Devil Source and our buddy Chris Cartman. So thanks for that, Chris. Thanks, everybody. So when someone goes through a rant like Todd just did there, if you don't, you know, go get somebody else. As long as I'm the head coach, that's the way it's going to be. They want somebody not to blitz, get somebody else. Now, who is they? If that is people above him that aren't happy? Is that fans? Is it a combination of both? Because you have to believe that the people that Ray Anderson and his staff, you know, they're out there trying to sell into a stadium thing, and they had a lot of momentum a year ago, and this year it has just not gone a positive direction at all. I am stating the obvious on that, but it still needs to be stated. You know, I have said for years and years, been here over 20 years, that Arizona State is a sleeping giant or the biggest mirage. Figure it out, one or the other, because it's never turned into this dominant year after year. This is not Alabama. You know, USC has been down and now they're back, even though they named Clay Helton their guy today. Like, what is up with that? But ASU's, and Doug Haller had this from AZ Central Sports, since 2012, ASU's defense has gotten statistically worse each season in two major stat categories, scoring defense and yards per play. Entering the bowl game, ASU allows 32.7 points per game. That's 97th nationally. 6.7 yards per play, that's 101st nationally. So, yeah, there's injuries, but everybody has injuries. And so I can't sit here and just excuse away that they lost to a good quarterback. This has just been a dreadful season. And I'm not saying fans shouldn't go to the bowl games. Not none of my business. Hey, kids want to go to bowl games. Kids deserve the right to go to bowl games. Bowl games are a great part of the system. The system is broke when you have not enough bowl teams to fill, bowl eligible teams to fill all these bowls. And that's the truth this year. I mean, really, if there were, let's say, 20 bowl games, I think there's 43 bowl games this year. I think that's the number that I saw. 43 bowl games. And if you had maybe 25, 30 bowl games, is ASU a bowl team? No. Are you kidding me? They haven't looked or resembled anything like a bowl team. Saturday night was a microcosm of the season. Another good quarter and a half, not a complete game. The only complete game, when you write about the story of 2015, the only complete game that you can even bring up is the UCLA game. Can't say the U of A game was a complete game. Are you kidding me? Let him back in with a third string quarterback. So Todd, that was just a really interesting comment from Todd. Because he just strikes me as, look, this is the first time Todd's gone through adversity here. Let's be honest. When he got here first year, it's honeymoon period. And they made progress. Second year, really good. Third year, progress. Other than the bowl game, I should take that back. The bowl game last year they won wasn't pretty. Bowl game before that was just dreadful, the Holiday Bowl. Awful. So now we get into the bowl season. I'll get into that as the week goes on and on the television show too. The Cactus Bowl just added Motel 6 as a sponsor. And that's probably where Arizona State is going to end up going, or the Las Vegas Bowl. And at the start of the season, if I had told you they're going to go to the Cactus Bowl or the Vegas Bowl, even the most ardent, supportive, I'm a Sun Devil, I'm a loyal Sun Devil, forks up, what kind of shoes are they wearing, what color's their jersey, let's get there for the Devil Walk, even those diehard of diehards would say, there's no way we're going to the Vegas Bowl or the Cactus Bowl. You know, how about an all-expense-paid light rail trip down to the Chase Field for the Cactus Bowl? What a great idea. But that's what it's come to this year. Paula's next. She may totally disagree with me, and I bet you she does just because we just like each other in that way. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmak.
Good to have Paula Bovin jump on board every week. News and notes, AZ Central sports columnist. My friend, happy holidays. Are you in a fine mood after being in Cal and watching ASU and the Cardinals the weekend in the Bay Area? Or are you a bit, disturbed, grumpy? Where are you at today on these two teams?
I think I'm annoyed at teams that struggle to do anything in the red zone, which was ASU and then Cardinals for a while. Something about the Bay Area, I think, brings the worst out in them. You know, I was listening to you talking about the Graham comment, and I thought they were really interesting because it was sort of the first time we saw him lose it a little bit, you know?
Yeah, there's Paula, he's had a good run here so far. He hasn't had any – I don't think you've taken him to task on anything, nor should you have. I'm not saying you – and I don't think Dan has. I don't think Doug Howler has. I don't think that anybody at the paper has taken him to task. I think the Durant stuff was a little bit on the character side. There was a little bit there from my view. But go ahead.
You know, I pulled him aside after practice about maybe a week ago, and I asked him, you know, how are you feeling about the coverage lately? What do you think about the media? Are you having any issues? There's been some stuff that has come out about the team and, you know, underachieving, getting on his pace a bit about the high expectations. And he, at least to me, he said, I totally get it. You know, I expected better. I don't have a problem with the second guessing. But I do think those comments were about him really saying, I'm not going to change this. And it made me think about the old Suns teams. This is a weird analogy, but I was thinking of Mike D'Antoni and those old Suns teams and how people now have been sort of pining for those fun teams of old, which were great offensively, but stunk defensively, you know? But it didn't matter because they were winning. And I think to this point, maybe because they win games, and I'm on board with this, if you're winning games, it doesn't matter where your defense is ranked. But now that they're losing some games, that's when the defense, you know, it becomes an issue. So I'm not sure where I'm going with that, Brad. That was kind of my reaction to it all.
Well, but you were there. I was not. Okay. So things can get lost in context. So was he just talking about fans on shows and things like that? Or was he pointing to us? Because look, they've not been good. I talked about the Notre Dame game a year ago. The second half of the Notre Dame game, they were lucky to hang on. And part of that was Notre Dame, but part of it was defensively they couldn't stop anybody. You're going to lose players. Recruit better players. Don't give me that right. We have all these kids that are great and then they're not good, you know?
No, I think, and I watched, I actually ended up having to stay in the press box because the deadline was so late, but Doug went down, but I watched the press conference later. I think he was definitely talking about fans. I don't think there's an issue with the administration saying, you know, Ray Anderson saying, you need to change your defensive style. I think, you know, he had sort of a gut reaction, probably will regret saying it a little bit because fans never take the, if you don't like it, you know, get somebody else kind of comment. That doesn't sit well. So I think that was just sort of his gut reaction to, you know, there's been criticism. It's been on social media. I remember, I think a couple weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, Mike Norvell temporarily like blocked Twitter or, you know, or didn't let people, you know, send him tweets or whatever. So, I mean, I think the staff is feeling the heat more than they have in the past. But, you know, bottom line is, I think the whole recruiting thing, you've got to look at it. I have no problem with the team blitzing a lot. But when you're losing games, then you have to answer the questions about it. And maybe those questions are, you need to step it up in recruiting a little bit, especially in that area.
But I think, and Paula's with us for our weekly segment, Paula Bovin with us, AZ Central sports columnist, and you can find her content at AZ Central Sports. Doug Howler had the note here that since 2012, the team has dropped, they're giving up 32 points a game. That's 97th nationally. They're 101st nationally in yards per play. I mean, those just aren't bad numbers. Those are horrific numbers. Those are New Mexico State numbers. Those are just awful. How does that happen here? I know you had a first-round pick go to the Packers, but please don't try to tell me that that's the reason why this year you're so bad defensively.
Well, it's that style of that whole risk-reward thing, and the numbers aren't going to look good. But the reality is he won 28 games his first three seasons, pretty much playing with that kind of defense, and it wasn't an issue. So, you know, I guess it caught up with him. I don't know. It's so hard for me, and this position, quite honestly, to second guess coaches. Obviously, they've been doing it forever, and they've got their methods to their madness and all that. But I do think it's fair that they have to answer questions. I'll only say that no one was really questioning that defense when they were.
Okay, but here's the thing, Paula. You and I can sit here today on November 30th of 2015. I don't know the exact date, but I think it's week two next year. They play Texas Tech here. So, so it's not going to get any easier. That's one of the most wide open, unbelievable offenses that's out there. And so we're going to hear an awful lot in the offseason about how we have to address this. I'm not saying that, you know, you talk about your position. I just think you need to bring the hammer out to them. And you, in I think you guys have over there. I'm not saying you haven't. But this is just beyond a horrible season. When I'm sitting here talking about who they're going to play in the Cactus Bowl or the Vegas Bowl versus all, you know, when Kirk Herbstreit says they're going to be a preseason team in the Final Four, that gets big headlines. Okay.
Right.
And so when they're the big headlines, then it's got to be big headlines when they don't and not be swept under the rug and not be pushed back to D12 or not be buried in my show. Well, this is where we have to bring the hammer out and not be afraid of not getting access or being cut off or any of that nonsense.
Well, I will say it is interesting that the theme of stubbornness seems to be a bit of an issue with this team. I mean, you look at, we've talked about the offense, and maybe that there was a, you know, lack of adapting to the type of quarterback you have and sticking with a certain philosophy. It kind of seems to be happening both ways, offensively and defensively now. And so, you know, I'm curious next year with a different type of quarterback to see offensively if it's going to pay off again. But, you know, again, I think you measure someone by their body of work. You look at four seasons. But I think next year is a big year because then you find out if this was an aberration or you find out if there's some kind of problem. Because now, I don't know about you, but I'm getting the emails from fans saying, oh, you know, these are his recruits. Look what happened. You know, he won on somebody else's recruit.
Sure.
Now that's the question he's got to answer right now.
Speaking of recruits, so Rich Rod was in Hawaii recruiting at the end of last week on Friday when Mark Richt was let go. And you and I have talked here for the last 3 weeks that I said Rick was going to get blown out, and I still believe Rich is going to get in the middle of all that. And I don't know if he's going to get it, but I think of the destinations, I've been hearing for over a month now from people connected here in the Valley with Georgia that Rick was gone, and Rich is going to get in on it. Are you of that opinion as well, or are you just taking a wait and see on all these openings?
Well, you know, I can't help but think that he is open to listening. I think it has to be the right job. I mean, you know, Arizona is granted it's a basketball school and all that other stuff. But the bottom line, I think it's a better job than some of the places that were mentioned of destinations for him. So I think it has to be the right situation. Not to mention he's got that great bonus if he sticks around. But I mean, if you talk about that job, that would be one he'd have to give. I think he'd give some real thought to and, you know, possibly take. I mean, talk about a football school and everything else it has going for it. So, I don't know. He's been a hard read. You know, after that emotional press conference at Tempe, people read a lot into that. I don't know. I think he's been sort of non-committal about certain things. I know Greg Byrne has now come out and said he thinks Rich will stay, but I think he has to say that.
Yep.
So,
yep.
It's a flip of the coin for me right now, but it certainly would depend on the opening and if it's attractive to Rich Rod or not.
Well, I think it's number three. It's a top five quarterback in the nation who's up in Seattle, is already committed to Georgia, and he's sticking to his commitment today. And Georgia hasn't had a quarterback, and that's just been the way it's been there the last few years. So he's got to move. I think this thing all comes to a head this week. This is the week where either I am not going anywhere, guys, please get off of me about it because it's impacting me on recruiting because I'm hearing that's going on, and even the guys he's got nailed down. I've been told the high school coaches here in the Valley have been telling the U of A people, well, your coach isn't going to be there. So they're getting crushed right now, not towards this class, but the 2017 class. So he's got to say something this week, one way or the other, because this can't continue for them, I think.
Well, and that's a great point. And I hadn't even frankly thought about the recruiting thing, but you're right. And I mean, I think with this other situation, that's going to come to a head soon. So I think it would be best for all parties involved if something happens one way or the other. And you're right. If it's not happening, he needs to say something publicly.
Okay, how are you going to handle March 23rd on your sports calendar? It's the Lakers' last time coming to Phoenix with Kobe Bryant. And is it just, it's a nice night. You send a photographer down there. This might be a better question for the big boss, but you're the boss. So you have a column. If you're writing a column about Kobe Bryant, to me, you'd have to list him as one of the top villains ever in Phoenix sports. And villains are great for sports. Is it a game that sells out? Is it a game where the fans boo the heck out of him? Is it a game where the fans cheer him? What are your early thoughts on Kobe saying, I'm done after this year?
Well, you know, for me, it all changed with Kobe after that incident at the hotel. I mean, it's, you know, I can't just look past what happened there and you know, embrace his career and his greatness and everything else that happened. That left at that moment. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's a great question about how Suns fans will react. I think because this is his final season, I think it'll be kind of a mix of applause and boos. He was a great villain because he did so well against the Suns, you know. So I think he sent out so many mixed signals to people. Some love this great career he had. Others are disgusted by some of the things he's done. You know, others just hate him because he's so good. And so I think there's a real mixed feeling with fans. It's not like Michael Jordan on a farewell tour. I think Kobe just generates a whole different visceral emotion than guys like Jordan ever did. Absolutely.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking of Rajah Bell showing up and reenacting the clothesline or things like that.
Now, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, just have Rajah give him and if Rajah's with the Warriors, all great sons go to the Warriors, evidently, when their careers are done.
Of course, yeah.
But to me, that's one of those, I would hope the game is beyond sold out and the scalpers would do really well and there'd be a huge buzz in town rather than the Diamondbacks have a split squad game in March and, oh, by the way, the Cardinals are looking at this free agent and Kobe's here. And that's, you know, it's just kind of thrown to the side because I think we're better than that here. This is an enormous story. If your reaction is that way towards him, it's fine. I'm sure that there's others that just look at on the court with him, and that's where their hearts are. The Lakers have done him no favors. It's good that he's getting out of the game because they've surrounded him with garbage the last few years.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's sort of sad how it's all unfolding for him, you know, with the kind of bad team that he's on and things like that. It'll be interesting from city to city where he goes how people will react to him.
All right, before I let you go, I saved the Cardinals just in this way. I'm fine. It was not a pretty game at all. I am concerned about Cannizzaro and Butler. The special teams unit has not been very consistent or very good here recently, and I'm concerned about the injuries. But by and large, it's one of these games that every team has during the course of a season. They may have a couple of them where they just don't play well, or they play that. So I'm not going to sit here and overreact on this stuff today. Where are you on this one?
No, I'm the same way, and I thought it was great. I don't know if you saw, there's a clip going around of the locker room after the game, and briefly Bruce Arians is talking, and he said, breaks it up, and everybody starts leaving, and Patrick Peterson says, wait, and calls everybody back and basically says, defense, we've got work to do, we've got stuff to take care of. This, you know, I think they understand what they did, and also I don't see it as something that's going to overtake them the next few weeks. They're going to fix some of their problems. They still seem very focused, and I think they're in a very good place right now.
All right. Stay well. Thanks for your time, as always.
All right, Brad.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. The Diamondbacks were turned down today by a pitcher that's one of the best in all of baseball, and he said no to $120 million. I'll tell you who and why next. A few things in my mind today. I didn't even get to the Suns because it's just early in the season and Kobe's a much bigger story. They do, they're on the road, they're out of town, and the Coyotes continue to win. At some point, people are going to start watching the Coyotes. It hasn't happened yet, from my understanding, but at some point they're going to start watching. And Arizona State basketball had a nice win over UC Santa Barbara. So. And U of A is off and running. They did stub their toe against Providence. The story, though, that caught my eye on the baseball front today is that Johnny Cueto, I'll give the Diamondbacks credit on this one. I had mentioned last summer that they were in on Aroldis Chapman. And there was a, oh, no, they're never going to go after Aroldis Chapman. Sure enough, they went after Aroldis Chapman. I don't think they're in on him now. In fact, Jordan, you were telling me he changed agents today. Is that
right?
Yeah,
he just joined Mark Anthony's agency as the first athlete.
Mark Anthony and Aroldis Chapman. So that just screams of, we're going to go chase all sorts of cash because we just expect anybody to pay because I'm Mark Anthony. And then we're going to put you on the cover of an album. We're going to get you in a movie. Doesn't that
essentially, yeah.
Doesn't that screen that like it has nothing at all to do with baseball?
Yeah, it's been, from what I was reading, it was a lot of Mark Anthony's great in the music industry.
Of course.
And well connected, and that's how they're going to help these athletes, not on the field or signing with teams.
I mean,
like that.
We want to make sure that post deal is done before we, you know, talk about on the field. Or they just got it all figured out on the field. And then when they struggle, it's, what do you think this is happening? I don't know. I was in recording a rap album. What are you talking about? You know, I've had my ups and downs. I haven't had everybody around me. I haven't had the right manager. I haven't had this. I haven't had that. So Johnny Cueto showed up on the radar screen today for the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks offered him a reported $120 million, and he said no. Now, Johnny Cueto was terrific in the postseason. Johnny Cueto is the perfect, in my opinion, perfect number one starter, top of the rotation guy that the Diamondbacks have not had. The bigger story here, though, is that the Diamondbacks were willing to, and evidently, and he's smart on this, he wants to see what David Price is going to get in the free agent market. David Price is probably going to zoom right past that number. I can't imagine a day, and I'm sure I've said this at some point over the last 20 some odd years, we're paying a pitcher $50 million, no $100 million, no $120 million. I can't imagine, like I've heard David Price being the guy that could command $200 million. So if I'm Johnny Cueto, that's great, Arizona. I'd love to come pitch for the Diamondbacks. But I think it speaks to the Diamondbacks' belief with Dave Stewart, Tony La Russa. Those two are going after Johnny Cueto that hard. That tells you all you need to know. And we saw him in the postseason. I would take Johnny Cueto at the top of the rotation, and I would think he would sell tickets. You know, he would sell tickets. There's got to be a buzz level about the team, and I think there was last year. Yeah, my TV show's on Fox Sports Arizona, so I see ratings. And the ratings for Diamondbacks were really good. They were strong, and they were stronger than they were the year before, and they were pretty darn good last year, and I think they can be better this season. And when I say pretty darn good, given where they were, okay, yeah, I got it. Pretty darn good you get in the postseason. Maybe I overstated that. But when I look at them to go to the next level, go get me two guys at the top of your rotation. Just go get them. I'm not saying you have to have Johnson and Schilling, but go get them. And Cueto would have been one of those guys or may still be one of those guys. Because it's not like I'm sitting here watching the rest of the National League West so far, and it's early into the offseason, but the winter meetings are next week in Nashville. This is about the time where if the Diamondbacks are going to do something of substance to get people excited for season tickets, Christmas is coming up, all that stuff with season ticket renewals, now's the time to do it. And Johnny Cueto, that's got me a little excited. Love to see that happen. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on Sports360AZ.com right now. If you're just getting back from the holiday weekend, all the high school football championship games were played. Jordy and Jared were out at those. You can check out their videos, their written content. Plenty of good content on that front. Our recruiting roundup, now that the high school season is over, a lot of these kids look at the next step in college. Plenty of content there that we see people check out and log on to. Things that we see on the high school, the college, the pro level, no particular order. We're just very, very Arizona-centric. Thanks for being with us.